Sometimes Forex trading can be a wild and woolly place to be. But Forex trading doesn't have to be the Badlands for you, partner. Instead, hunker down and bend your ear. You'll be burning the breeze in no time here at the Truth About FX Podcast.
Hey, it's Walter, and in this episode, part three with James Kensington, you're going to hear all about James's space trading. What is it? You'll learn that. You'll also see the difference between private traders and public traders, and James knows very well what these differences are. You'll get the key elements of trading success. James will share with you what he believes are the best elements, the key things, the key ingredients that you need to ratchet up your trading and find consistent trading success. He talks about lemmings in the market as well and how to see these lemmings in the market. This is critical for Forex traders because it's really key to how we make profits. He'll also share with you his position sizing strategy. So this is something that it's very unique to James. I learned a lot when I first heard this from James, and he's going to share with you how you can use position sizing to your advantage. He'll also talk about how you can use the naked trading framework with penny stocks, which I find quite interesting, and he's done well with that as well. And finally, James is going to jump into the big trading lie. This is the one lie that we see in trading education promotions all over the internet, and it is, in fact, a big, huge, fat lie. And he's gonna show you why this is the case, and I actually quite enjoyed that. So all of this and more in part three. I hope you enjoy it.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how once you sort of let people in and pull them behind the curtain and they see what you do, that it changes it changes the game. You can become susceptible to what other people think or want. I've found that you're often better trading sometimes, you know, when you're by yourself and you don't have that added pressure. Or the other way to do it is what I found that works for me is if you talk it out. So if you actually, when you're making your trading decisions and when you're showing why you're doing something, if you talk it out, sometimes what will happen is you're confirming your system, you're confirming your approach, and you actually get some information that you weren't really consciously aware of because you've been talking it out. Have you found that?
Exactly. And it happens. And it, like I said, it's going from a very reclusive trader to a public trader. But it's good. It's a learning lesson for everyone. It also proves that not every trader is on their game 24/7 either. That's what I love about the Naked Forex members community, is that no one's there to show off. They're there to show other people what they do, whether they fail at it or whether they do well at it or whether they break even at it. They're showing people what they do in an open community. That's why I really enjoyed contributing to it. And eventually I'll probably meet some of these traders as well who are upcoming and explain to them that we are all human beings. So if you turn around and you come with your head held long and said, oh, well, I've lost 35% in my lifetime in trading, I'm not going to laugh at you. If anything, I'm going to give you a big handshake and say, but what was your overall consistency? Did you improve? Yes. And then you can see that life story grow. And in a way, I think it was good I had a drawdown this year. My lowest drawdown in trading has only ever been 5%. This year, I made a new record of 8%. I think it was 8% drawdown. But it was good. It was good for me to have a taste of loss. It was good for me to get kicked in the nuts. Because you know what they say? The more you win and the more you don't lose, the harder you fall. And it is true. And I'm just glad. I'm glad people see what it's about. I'm glad people see what failed. People think it's just strings of winning trades. It's really odd. It's actually not. It's a string of win-loss, win-loss. You can go win-loss, 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 win-loss for a whole 2 months, and you want to rip your freaking hair out. But the truth is that you've learned that statistically, it'll eventually go win, 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 and then you're also going to get a loss, 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 loss. But you're just cycling through that process. And I did figure something out by doing the signal service, just how impatient traders are, and this may be the reason why a lot of them are not doing well. They want to see results now, 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 now. But the problem with that is that if you want to see results now, you impact the ability to make profit. because you're only looking at the short term and you're missing the long term trends. And that's very important as well. What I've found out is the more you trade during the week, the less likelihood you're going to catch a big winner. The less you trade during the week and the more picky you are, the more likely you'll catch a big winner and do less work for the same outcome.
I've also found that the more time I spend away from the screen, the better decisions I make when I do look at the screen, if that makes any sense. So it's kind of like I don't watch the candles print, but I come back and go, oh, well, so that's where it went during Asia, you know, right before London opens when Frankfurt's firing up or something. I'll get a really fresh look at the charts then. Or maybe if I don't look at the charts on Monday, for example, because I don't like to trade on Mondays. So that might be another thing where the last thing I saw was the London session Friday, and then the next chart I see is Tuesday after the Asian session. Like, that's a really good thing too, if you can do that.
Exactly. And that's the way you want to trade as well. You just want to trade what I like to call it space trading. I know we've got, it's a bit different to the terminology you use, but it is, you need space between your trades, and at the end of the day, you know what the truth is, you can't, when you put in a trade, you can't change the outcome of that trade. It's going to win or it's going to lose or it's going to break even. That's it. You know, you just continue on with your trading plan. And there's so many different styles and ways to trade. And like I said, I'm being more open now. I was very anti-scalperish and stuff like that. And there's a member in our forum who I've been a bit of a hard nose with as well, because I can be very stubborn. There was a good member in our forum. I'm trying to think of his name now. I'm forgetting with it. But he's got a little blue fox as a symbol. A little like robotic fox. And he's very interesting. I'm quite interested to see how he trades. You probably know, Walters, I love learning other people's systems and pulling them apart and then doing the research and then taking their system and developing my own system out of it. I swallow systems up for breakfast because that's my enjoyment. It's the research element. There's a lot of good traders out there with good systems, but just don't have a naked framework. And when you combine the two, it's like creating a new little Frankenstein. It's awesome.
Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think it, when you start peeling the things off the chart, that it helps some traders? Why would that be? Like, what, you know, because most traders aren't used to that. When they first start doing it, it's like riding your bike without training wheels, right? I know we've talked about this before, but why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's principally to do with the fact they don't have the basics of trading. They don't know what risk management is. They don't understand statistics. They don't understand probability. People don't understand what it takes, why you shouldn't overtrade, all those little bits and pieces. And then when they apply that framework to, here we go, to a simple moving averages system, all of a sudden, 3 years down the track after they've learned the naked trading system, these old systems are working for them. The truth is, they're just missing the key elements of trading, and that is the naked framework. Now, I know I emphasize this a lot, but that framework is what determines whether a system will work as well. It's like your baseline configuration. I would never take a system and without applying a naked principle to it. If it doesn't meet the naked principles of risk reward and everything else, I won't touch it. And there's a reason for that, because I know what works. I've made double Bollinger Bands work. I've made ICMO Cloud work, and I love that one. I'm not sure if you've played with the ICMO Cloud. That's a lot of fun. Yep. But if you put it in a naked framework, it works and it delivers really nice profits. But it also delivers losses as well when it's not traded properly. But yeah, I think it's just people don't get back to the basics. There's also a very, very good slide from Edgewonk. I'm not sure if you guys know who Edgewonk are, but Dennis was the one that put me onto this through his slides. And one of them was why professional traders are process orientated. So you can be results orientated or process orientated for each of your systems. And there's a really good lecture slide which you guys will post thing. But the truth is, amateurs only focus on the outcome and professionals judge their trades by the way how they made their decisions. You know, it adhered to the rules, winner well done, loser no big deal. You broke the rules, winner I got lucky, loss what I deserve. So there's some very, very good materials out there about being more successful. And they're not hard rules either. No, this is another thing. Before I was involved in the forum, I wasn't big on the online thing. I just read your book and I used to just follow your research. And whilst I traded and so forth and did a lot of it, a lot of self-based teaching. But that book has everything you need in it. And it's quite surprised that people still think, people approach me and say, I love your big shadow system, but I've never read Walter's book. And I'm like, well, then why are you here? Because the whole point, it's not my system that works. It's the naked framework behind the system that makes it work. And that's where everyone gets it wrong. You can, I guarantee 80% of trading systems work if traded with a naked framework. But if they don't adhere to that naked framework, you can eliminate the bad systems out there. And that's the old saying, the bad system rule. But you can only do that by having a framework behind it. But yeah, that single book is gold, and I'm not surprised you haven't had it printed in gold already, Walter. But you know, I would charge. I mean, to me, I know you don't charge very much for it, but to me, that book is worth about $1,000. So I'm surprised you don't charge a lot for it.
I mean, the publisher, I think they send me like 45 cents of every copy or something like that. It's not you don't write books to make money, obviously. You know, that's not something that you do, but I have been happy to, like, you don't know how often I will get emails from traders I've never heard of in my life. They're not in our forum. They're not, you know, I don't hear from them. And then boom, they just send me these emails and they say, I read your book and, you know, it's my trading's turned around, or, you know, you could tell like there's hope, which is really kind of what I like, because I you know, I went through some really tough times when I was trading, you know, switching the templates and looking at different indicators and moving averages and stochastics and all these different things before I realized that, you know, and, you know, Bulkowski, have you read the Bulkowski books? Because Bulkowski is the one that turned me on to patterns. And when I started seeing his data, I thought, whoa, this is amazing, because it made so much sense.
Well, he was the first one to really dive into statistics. Now, I had someone say that they were knocking Bukowski, and I said, what you got to understand is that back then it was stock trading, and it's not quite Forex, but it was stock trading, and he had done a lot of patterns and so, but he was the first one to build up relationships. See, this is where a lot of people don't understand Forex, and it often frustrates me. People think Forex is a mathematical chart that prints symbols based on economic data that gets sifted into a platform, and then it produces that, then the currency goes up and it goes down. It's not. The whole market is traded by emotions. It's whether buyers think in their conviction that it's a good time to buy, and whether sellers think in their conviction is a good time to sell, based off patterns that statistically. So when they all go, I'm going to sell, it prints a pattern, and that statistically more often happens when people do a sell. You're just using statistics to protect yourself. But a lot of people think the market is some massive computer system that's super accurate. It's not. It's actually a bunch of investors running around like lemmings between the buy and the sell. And those that get in early, which is probably about 2 or 3% of them, end up being the winners. And those that get in late end up getting some amounts, but not making as much. And then the people at the end end up losing. And a lot of people as well don't understand is that when you trade FX, there is a loser and there is a winner. You are either giving money to someone else, or that they are giving money to you. And that's the way it works. So if everyone was winning in the market, right, then at the end of the day, there would be no money to be made and everyone would break even. So you need to have losers. You actually benefit by having more losers in the market. And I know that sounds strange, because you're taking more of their money.
But they also, in theory, they should be learning too.
The thing is that most people who trade are lazy. They get onto, and this is true, they get onto it and they go, I'm going to buy because I think the pound's going to go up. That's most traders. Most people in the world don't even trade. It's institutions, and those institutions look after investors for superannuation portfolios and so forth, and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's a lot of people just don't understand the whole market's ruled by psychology of buying and selling. That's it.
Yeah, but all markets, they're all the same, because people are in them, and people are programming black box systems, and people are participating. It's all people.
And that's why I think it's stupid when everyone turned around and said, robot, robot, robot. And I sit there going, yes, but... can a robot deter? Okay, here we go. Trump election. I was wrong on the Trump election, and I didn't catch the trade. But I said to people it would go up, and it did. It actually flew up the UST went right up and just missed my target by 1 point, and then it collapsed. Now, a computer doesn't know that Trump's getting into power, does it? It doesn't. So what it does is it thinks, well, Hillary's got the more preferred vote, she's been in politics, he's a bit of a wild card. So if you put in all this analogy about whether Trump would get in and Hillary, no one saw the Trump coming. People thought he might get it as a swing, but people did think that, you know, that Hillary would get in based off logical data. But the people are illogical, and that's the difference. People are random. People also don't always fill out that paperwork from the Bureau of Statistics correctly either. They're not. If people believe in something, they're going to use their conviction to do that. And that was a classic example during the election, that people wanted a change in power, but they hadn't openly discussed it because of political correctness. And it was a very interesting, I think, if anything, people should look into that and compare that and how the market works, because that's kind of the way the markets work in FX. But we are so lucky that we have patterns, that when people buy and sell, they print patterns. Without those patterns and without those trends and the Japanese candlesticks, we would be lost little people out there, and we wouldn't know when to buy and sell. So we're very fortunate we have a way of mapping that psychology out.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And that's really what technical analysis is, as I see it, is the psychology in patterns. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing the red-eyed greed and the fear, you know, and the fear in their eyes, and it's all kind of printed in patterns on the chart, isn't it?
It is. And technical analysis is a way of reading those patterns and looking statistically how often they occur and you trade them. And yes, I will agree that some of the best traders in the world can trade both technical and news. However, statistically proven, and this is statistically proven, that technical traders are more likely to make money in the market than news traders. And I know everyone's going to jump up and go, oh, that's not true. It is true. Technical traders are more likely to make money because their system is consistent. Whereas news trading, yes, there is some consistency behind it, but it's based on what other people's perception is of what's going to happen and sentiment. And their sentiment and perception can be wrong. How do I know if everyone's going to do a panic sell on the CHIF? No one saw that coming. No one thought they were going to panic sell like that. That was the biggest, you know, when the Swiss franc fell. It fell badly. People didn't expect that mass panic. They expected a panic, but just not on that scale. Even the big funds got it wrong, and they all lost money. So trying to predict people's psychology based off news is great. It's a pity we can't have bars for news or something like that. But in a way, and this is where technical analysis, and this is where I had a very good trader, Jarrett Davies, explain this. And whilst he's very pro-news, and that's his thing, and he does very well at it, he did point out a good point, is that the patterns on your charts reflect news events. And they reflect people's sentiment and conviction on those events as well. All we are doing as technical traders is we are trading the news. We're just trading it in patterns. So in a way, we're just all very good pattern traders.
Yep.
So
are you going to share some of your patterns and patterns in the live event? Is that something you're planning on doing, James?
Yeah, I was going to do that and go through also raw trading, which means trading without patterns and trading without confirmation when you've got a perfect setup. Because sometimes the bars print, but sometimes they don't. And that'll be very interesting to cover as well. Also, I'll be covering position management, how to be optimal with position management, how to also trade multiple trading systems and people say, what do you mean by multiple trading systems? I will be doing things like why you should take your $10,000 and divide it into four, and then have a different strategy on each account that you know that works, and then you can trade those strategies. So there's quite a number of things, position management, different strategies that I put in play, things that I've learnt, a little bit more about brokerage as well, which is very important to understand, getting your right broker. Another thing I'll probably be covering a little bit is penny stocks and why you can apply trading naked to penny stocks and other markets as well. So you're not just linked to Forex. You can trade in futures and penny stocks and shares and so forth. Probably a different angle, but why is it important to? And when, you know, things, and we'll be also, I think I'll definitely cover, is psychology, when to get in, when to get out, and when to stop trading. There is a reason why traders stop trading. And I've had times where I've had been trading and then I've not had a good time in my life and I thought, nope, I'm going to take a month and that's it. I'm not going to touch the charts. Even though I was doing very, very well, I mean, just towards the end of the year, I went through some very hard times with family loss, and we've also, you know, we had some horrible news with world events as well, you know, because it's quite a violent time and things like that. But I didn't touch the charts during that time. And that's something that's very important to do as a trader, is understand the life, work and life aspects of trading.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and you kind of have to know yourself. I think one thing about meditation and adopting sort of a mindfulness perspective is that you kind of know when you should step aside. You know when you're not fit for trading. And some traders I know, they'll do that. They'll, every day when they're up and they're looking at the charts, one of the things they'll do in their journals, they'll write down a number, like, how are they feeling? And if you're honest with yourself, there's going to be those days that come up when you write down a number and you say, I feel like a 4 today. Well, you shouldn't be trading if you're a 4. You should really only be trading if you're 8, 9, or 10 in that area. If you're not feeling good, that's when I think you're prone to some mistakes, or at least execution mistakes.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're angry at your kids, or your kids are bothering you, or your brother's annoying you, or he's being nice, or there's some sort of trauma in the family, don't trade. It's the worst thing for you. And I mean, I left the reins just recently with Nigel on the signal service. And I will address this, because a lot of people think, yes, Nigel made some big mistakes on the trading. But I'm still proud of the fact that even though he made those mistakes, he stuck to his guns. He did what he thought was right from a trading perspective. And he doesn't let it get to him, because he knows that, you know, no one can be perfect all the time. And, you know, it caused a bit of a drawdown, because what happens is another thing is people compare me when I trade, and you will see when I trade as well, as you see me through the year, there'll be times where I just absolutely cane through and make lots and lots of money and profit. You are not me. And this is something that's important as well, is that whilst I'll be showing you this, you've got to do this on your own and stand on your own two feet and do it and manage those life events as well around it. But let's say, for example, your wife and you have had a big argument. That's not a good time to trade. Definitely not a good time to trade. Or your kids have accidentally set fire to your number one shirt, or decide to draw all over the walls, or do macaroni art or something.
Or knock your surfboard off the wall, or decide to paint the TV.
Or do some trading for you when you didn't ask them to.
Yeah, exactly.
I learned the hard way. I actually had a trade executed, and I had to get it, and then one cancelled, and actually did work quite well trading. I was really impressed. This 3-year-old was actually did a good job of getting me out of the trade, because it tanked. And I was just like, I got profit from a tank trade. How did I do that? And I just looked at it and you know. And by the way, those stand-up desks are a really great idea, because sitting in a chair is not good for you for a long term. I like the stand-up desks as well.
Yeah, yeah. And they have some of them they make where you can they'll go up and down if you actually do want to sit. But I think you're right. I think eventually they'll call standing the new smoking or something like that. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like them. A lot of other ones. I don't know if you guys have heard of Foos Trading. He's got a nice stand-up kit. He's got a stand-up desk he was showing. He's another penny stocks trader, and he's very marketable. He shows his lifestyle. But here we go. Everyone shows people sitting in the Caribbean, sipping drinks and trading. Can I say something? And I'm going to really hit this hard on the head. Has anyone tried to trade on a laptop on the beach and been able to see the screen? Because I know I can't.
Nope. You gotta go in the boat, or you gotta go under shelter. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
So when you see them, exactly. when you see them sitting on the beach with their laptop, that laptop ain't on. That's just a blurry black yeah. screen you can't see. And I can just imagine if something happened to that laptop when you were on the beach, or you know. Or anyway, but that's why you can tell. You know, yes, people. Here we go, sitting at a cafe out in the direct sunlight. You can't see the screens. They're getting better with the technology, but trust me, even your eyes can't take it. And no offense, I wouldn't want to be trying to have a cup of coffee while staring at a screen at the same time and eating lunch. That's not fun. That means you're hooked to your computer 24/7. But the true reality of trading is you have your small office, you go and you do a few minutes in the morning, you check your charts every now and then, maybe 2 hours a day, and then the rest of it's your own. And the rest of it's either running a business like I did and you know, and building that business very quickly, or the, you know, or you can just do what the sane people do, is they grow their own little micro fund and love life and, you know, maybe keep their own job. I mean, I think Dennis still works as a security consultant for penetration testing, I think, in IT networks and systems. And I think that's great because he gets out there and he keeps his mind active. And he's a trader I have a lot of respect for. Another one is Frank, who's also a very, very good trader. And he doesn't return huge amounts of profit, but he's consistent with his system. He returns a very good profit, a lot higher than the funds. At the end of the day, there's something as well people don't realize. I might make a huge amount of profit, but I also lose trades that are quite large as well. So it has a catch 22. I might make a lot of profits, but my drawdowns are much more severe than Frank's and Dennis's. I'm almost positive of that. I reckon I will see a drawdown even with my personal trading. I think I've now reached 8%. I reckon I will see a drawdown of 16%, maybe lower than that at one point trading. It's just going to happen. It's statistically evident that it will happen. But it's how you recover from that drawdown as well. And it's how you manage that. I can actually prevent a lot of that drawdown by minimizing the amount of trades that I take as well. So it's just interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff we'll probably cover during the VIP conference and, you know, and so forth. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I tell you what, if you're going there and you're thinking you're not going to work and do a lot of mind intensive things, it's definitely not going to be I reckon it'll be a casual conference, but it's definitely going to be a one where you're going to bring pencil and pad and write a lot down and take note of all the materials and share ideas. But you remember, you're bringing a whole lot of smart traders together in the one forum, which doesn't happen very often. And then we can all share ideas and maybe come up with an even better system. There we go. You know, of trading. Yeah.
I think the cross-pollination is one of the real advantages of things like this, is, you know, getting people in, obviously meeting people, putting a face to, you know, knowing, you know, because what's interesting is you meet these people in real life. Last year we had a meetup in London and it was interesting because you see their picture on the forum and then when you meet them in real life, you're like, whoa, you look way better in real life, man. You need to get a better forum picture. Things like that. It's so funny. So
people have no idea what I look like. They'll get very shocked. You know, I had someone say to me, are you very, very, very British and, you know, and monarchical or something like that? And I'm just like, no. I'm from the sweet mocker world, you know.
That's funny.
You know. But, you know, like I said, people picture a trader walking around in a flashy suit and his gold Rolex. I walk around in my board shorts and my Aussie t-shirts and I've got a beer in one hand. And I'm just completely different. And I'm brewing my own apple cider. And I've done that now. When you become a trader, you become a brewer as well. I'm now brewing cider and beer. And Frank, who's, like I said, another great trader, he's also helping me learn how to do some of the beer brewing, because you should see his setup. I've never seen that amount of beer before, but you know, that would be good. I could set up my own beer and call it the Fat Cat. I should do that, you know.
Awesome. You know. Awesome. Well, James, I want to thank you so much for your time here today. Is there anything else you want to end with for the listeners?
I think that's it. I think I've covered a lot. The main thing is for people to have a wonderful holiday. Don't trade now. Wait till the 10th or the 27th. You know, markets are slow.
Yeah.
You know, even I will say it's boring.
Yeah. wait for end of January, February, it starts to fire up. But usually, you know, this first 3 months, we get some sort of really nice trend, at least in my testing. February. I'm looking forward to February and March, actually. Yeah, that should be good. Much better than June and July in most years, but we'll see. We'll see.
It is. Yeah. It is. And it was the first year I've ever had a break from trading. First year in 8 years.
That's good.
This one from the... Yeah, so... Anyway, guys, take a break. Have some fun.
All right.
Read Walter's book. If you don't read Walter's book, I'm not talking to you anymore.
All right. I have a question, because one of the things, I mean, I don't really like to talk that much about the book. I feel like it's out there. If people like it, that's great. But one thing that I want to ask you, James, there is a chapter in the book on the psychology, and I'm wondering what I felt like I needed a whole book. You know, I needed many more chapters to get into it, and I tried to do as much as I could. What did you think about that psychology chapter? Because you seem to have, intuitively, you have a feel for, like you said, you know, making it a game, turning trading into about points, not about the money. You sort of have an intuitive feel for how to manage some of these mind barriers that crop up for us. So what did you think about that particular chapter, if you can remember, in Naked Forks?
When I first read that chapter, that was a pivotal change for me. That was when I really, really, the light bulbs went off in the brain as to, you know, how to manage the trading and stuff like that. I wanted more of it, to be honest with you. I actually want to see a Walters 2.0 book, which just delves into the psychology of trading. Believe it or not, and like I said, the system has very little to do with the success of the trading system. Yes, it needs an edge, and yes, it does need to work, but the psychology is so important. I tell you that 90% of traders fail because they don't have the right mindset, and they don't understand what overtrading is. They don't understand what failure to execute is. But like when I read the things like the cycle of doom, that was really good point for me. And it also teaches you about in that chapter as well, when you look at the process of what a trader goes through, from being back testing to forward testing, and how they can get stuck in a loop and how to get out of that loop, and the examples of the psychology on that loop as well. If you haven't read it, you're missing gold. That's all I'm saying. But I want to see a number book too, that just purely focuses on the psychology of trading. And hopefully I can be a contributor to that in the end as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm writing it right now, actually. And I hope to have it done by the event so people can get it. And it's not going to be $100 book. It'll be a cheap book if you want it. And so, yeah, this is something that I'm hoping to finish up this month, actually, while there's not much trading going on for me. So yeah, I'll definitely run it by you, James, and see what you think, because it's a little bit different.
I'll give you some of my written things that I did to deal with the psychology, and what I did when I self-doubted, and you know, and little learning lessons as well. But funny enough, I believe, and this is something as well, if you have a pet dog or a pet cat or kids do work as well. Anything that you can get hold of, give a big hug at the end of the day when you've had a bad day of trading, you know, or someone to talk to, or you take your dog for a walk, or talk to your missus, they are actually imperative in how well you do, especially if they support you in your family, and your family structure is so important. If you don't have people around you who are supportive of your trading, it does impact the outcome, because then you self-doubt. And that's something as well. That's what I'd love to delve into. Having the support structure in your home before you even start trading. You know, if you're doing trading and so forth, and you want it as a full-time career, you can't have your parents telling you every 5 minutes that you're never going to make it, because they will brainwash you into that.
Yes, because they're right. They're right. That's right. They will be right if they do that.
Exactly. Yeah. My parents were always the opposite. They have always been very supportive of what I do, good, bad, and ugly. I mean, I wanted to be a pilot when I was a kid, and my father, once this is the only time he said, no, you can't become a pilot, it's too much money, etc. I did. I actually got a pilot's license. I can fly helicopters, I've got an R-22 license, and I could fly commercially if I want to. And everyone told me I couldn't do it. Just don't tell James he can't do it because he will go and do it. That's the stubbornness. But I got that from my mother as well. She was like that. You know, people used to tell her she couldn't do anything. And she's a little short thing. And I remember when she was very, very young, they told her she couldn't become a police officer. So in response to that, because back then you had to be a particular height and all that type of thing. Back then, so she did the opposite. She got a career actually, funny enough, in statistics and administration and accounting and finance. What she did in the end is she went and did karate, and she was a karate champion. She could beat the hell out of someone. And she was this tiny little lady. But trust me, you want to get a beating.
<That's>
you would. And then she loved that, and she did that. And then one of my brothers became a judo champion, and then he retired from doing judo and then went on to become a teacher, and then went into the training fund. And but it was that thing. It's just the support structure in your home is so important. So I would love to get more delved into the psychology. Because like I said, here we go. Anyone can trade double Bollinger Bands, right? And I've proven this. Anyone can make money doing double Bollinger Bands. But it's the psychology behind the Bollinger Bands. Knowing when to enter the market at the right time and apply your rules depends on how your psychology is. Being able to restrict yourself once a week to a trade, maybe one trade a week, is psychology. It's nothing to do with a set rule that you can just switch off, because you yourself can imagine if you think you're ready as a trader, you should be able to take a trade now and not look at it until it closes out. Oh, that's a challenge to everyone today. If you're a true trader, you should be able to put your trade in, switch off the charts, come back in 2 weeks' time, and tell me if you didn't peak at the charts.
Yeah, that's a good test. That's a very hard test. So it's cheating if you put it on the 1 minute charts, right?
Well, it's 1 minute charts. Well, it probably is, but I wouldn't be putting long term trades on the 1 minute chart, because it'll be like there'll be a 2 minute trade or something like that. But seriously, put in a trade if it's a good trade with your trailing stops or whatever you do. Just leave it, come back, and if you can do that over and over again, you're already on your way to becoming a good trader. And that's a hard one to do. Trust me. 2 weeks, not allowed to look at the charts. At all. Not even call a friend.
No phone a friend. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good test. That's a very good test. Well, thanks a lot, James. Looking forward to seeing you at the event. I appreciate all your time here and dropping all these nuggets, and we're going to see you soon, and I really, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for sharing all this.
We will do now, and have a good time. Cheers, Walters.
Thanks.